Hello, and welcome to show number 2521 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
And I think for folks in our community that are interested in, okay, what is the future and what are the potential opportunities to reverse the vision loss that I'm experiencing, there's a real reason to be optimistic that there's a lot on the horizon.
It takes time, funding, and research to solve many blindness problems. And today we'll be talking about how one organization does that.
We'll talk with Jason Menzo, CEO of the Foundation Fighting Blindness, about advancing treatments for inherited retinal diseases, funding research initiatives, and launching new mental health resources to support individuals with blindness and low vision. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Jason Menzo, and I hope that anybody who could benefit from this tip takes advantage of the new service he is announcing.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I was doing some research, and there was a recent study from the CDC that pointed to the fact that 1 in 4 adults with vision loss reported anxiety or depression, and younger adults with vision loss had almost 5 times the risk of serious anxiety or depression compared to others. And this is a common message that we've been getting from our community for many years, that there are not many tailored solutions for the blind and low vision community as it relates to mental health. And so we thought this was an opportunity for us to do something very intentional for our community. And in May, this month, we are launching a brand new mental health resource center on our website. And with that, there are community stories, library of content, resources of all sorts, including podcasts and articles. But really the flagship element of this entire initiative, I'm super, super proud of. We have entered into an agreement with a nationwide network of mental health providers called ALMA. And ALMA is a network of 25,000 mental health specialists, psychologists, psychiatrists, certified therapists. And what we've done is our partnership with ALMA, we have brought to them a certified mental health continuing medical education training program specifically related to the needs and individuals experiencing blindness and low vision. And we've trained their therapists specifically on the needs of our community. And so today you can go to our website or you can go to ALMA's website and you can find a therapist that is specifically certified in having gone through this training related to the specific needs of our community. And so I'm very proud of that. We have not in every state yet, but we have therapists located throughout the country now through this partnership with ALMA that are specifically in tune with the needs of our community.
That's wonderful.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
First Aid for the Blind, teaching blind and vision impaired clients important life skills through live video training from blind instructors. The purpose of FAFTB's training is to replace the fear of the unknown with feelings of hope and confidence. More information is at faftb.com.
And by
Biped AI, the Swiss startup behind Noah, an all-in-one mobility tool worn on the shoulders. Noah provides audio GPS instructions, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings in real time using its live AI feature. More information is available at biped.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Jason.
Hello, my name is Jason Menzo, and I'm the CEO at the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
And how long have you had that role?
So I've been with the foundation just over 7 years. I started as the chief operating officer and have a bunch of specific functions that I worked closely with, but then moved into this role about 2.5 years ago.
And what brought you to the foundation? What were you doing beforehand?
So my whole career has been in the field of eye care, whether it be products that are like eye drops for different ocular conditions, or at one point in time, I worked with Bausch & Lomb on the contact lens business or diagnostics. And I got to this point when I felt like the experiences that I had and the work that I was doing was making an impact, but maybe could be making an even greater impact if I were to direct it in an arena like what the Foundation Fighting Blindness does. And so a good friend of mine had just recently joined the foundation and was telling me about the work that the foundation does and his vision for, you know, where he wanted to take it. And I just got obsessed with the idea of taking the experiences I've had in the for-profit sector and applying them here to the non-for-profit sector.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the Foundation Fighting Blindness and the work they do to advance treatments for inherited retinal diseases, primarily by funding research initiatives.
Well, Jason, we referenced the Foundation Fighting Blindness, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about what it does and its mission.
So the Foundation Fighting Blindness is the global leader in driving research to provide preventions, treatments, and cures for inherited retinal diseases that cause individuals to lose their vision and age-related macular degeneration. Really, what that means is that it's a very simple machine. We raise as much money as we possibly can through philanthropic means, tens of millions of dollars every year. And then we turn right around and we redeploy the money that we raise to fund the absolute best research at academic and private institutions all over the world. And we do this at scale. So, for example, this year, we're going to raise close to $40 million in donations and in revenue. And then we're going to turn around and, you know, 80%, 75, 80% of the money that we redeploy is going to go right back to funding work at Harvard, University of Michigan, Moorfields Eye Institute in London, Institut de la Vision in Paris, you know, University of California, San Francisco. And the type of work that we fund is everything from the basic science in a lab to identify the understanding of conditions that can cause people to lose their sight, all the way from the lab into what we call translational research, where the most promising work from the lab translates into the clinic, and then even clinical research itself, where we are funding studies of promising treatments in people. And to date, there are 50 different clinical trials of different conditions within this spectrum of blinding diseases. And we're involved in just about every one of them. It's a simple machine, money in, money out, but it's very complex in terms of how we're driving the field to advance treatments and cures for this range of conditions.
You mentioned that you're funding a lot of clinical trials, and our listeners, probably among them, have almost every eye disease you can think of. Are you still looking for people to participate in clinical trials? And if so, would they contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness or what?
The way that biomedical research translates, I use that word translates because that's the moment where it goes from the lab into translating it into people. Typically, as that occurs, the intervention itself, the treatment, the therapy, the gene therapy, the drug, whatever it is, typically changes hands from a researcher at Johns Hopkins. All of a sudden, when it goes into the clinic, typically that treatment comes out of the academic institution and is encapsulated into a biotech company or a pharmaceutical company. It's a long way of saying that the companies that are driving these products into the clinic are our partners. And so we have a way that we have a venture fund called the RD Fund as part of the Foundation Fighting Blindness, where we have investments in these companies. And it's an even longer way of saying that individuals across the country or across the globe who are interested in participating in a clinical trial can certainly contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness, because we're in touch with each of these companies that are pursuing these clinical trials, or they can contact the companies themselves. We ourselves are not recruiting or conducting the trials per se. We're funding them through investments. So a great resource is actually on our website. We have what's called a clinical trial pipeline, where every single clinical trial that is enrolling or taking place today across the globe is listed, the specific condition, the mechanism, and links to where more information can be found. But we can also, as an entity, we can connect people with the right parties if they're interested. And that's for what we call interventional trials. But we also ourselves at the foundation fund natural history studies. So for example, if an individual is affected with Stargardt, for example, several years ago, we ran the largest natural history study of individuals affected with Stargardt's disease. And we monitor and track and assess the progression of the condition over time, which is super important and very helpful when a company then pursues a treatment for Stargardt, because they understand what the normal progression is of the condition and then how their treatment could potentially change that progression. And that's helpful with regulators and things like that.
You're a good connection point then to not only distribute money to the researchers that are doing this important work, but for people with these diseases who are interested in finding out about some of the research studies, perhaps participating and volunteering their services for some of the work you do.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I honestly think that one of the most valuable things that we do is create community and connect people within the blindness and low vision community with one another. And so while the engine and what we're really aiming to do is to bring forth new gene therapies, new cell therapies, drugs, other interventions, the mechanism by which we do it is very community-based. And we have, you know, I'll be participating in our vision walk here in Raleigh tomorrow. We have vision walks all over the country and chapters all over the country. And I do think that one of the most valuable things that we provide today is the connection of individuals within this community with one another.
Tell us a little bit about the genesis of such an organization. How did it get started?
It was started back in the early 1970s. There's a gentleman who himself was affected with RP. He's a fairly well-known individual just in society. His name is Gordon Gund. And at the same time, there were a group of families in the Baltimore area who the primary family, the Berman family, Ben and Beverly Berman, their two daughters were affected with the blinding disease. And how this occurred is that Gordon was seeing a clinician, a doctor at Mass Eye and Ear in Massachusetts at Harvard. And at the same time, this family in Baltimore was seeing a physician at Johns Hopkins. Well, the individual clinician at Johns Hopkins said, well, you really should see this individual at Harvard. He's the, you know, at the forefront of understanding, you know, the genesis of these conditions. Well, that researcher at Harvard, his name is Elliot Burson, became matchmaker. And he said, well, this man has passion and is personally affected, and this family has passion and is personally affected. And he connected them and a couple others in the early 70s with one another with this opportunity to fund a lab, the first of its kind anywhere in the world at the time, at Harvard. And they needed to raise, I think it was $650,000 to be able to, you know, essentially jumpstart this lab. And so in the early, you know, 1971, the groups of families got together and they started fundraising and they raised enough money to fund the first lab. Well, today at Mass Eye and Ear at Harvard, the Berman Gund Lab is still the name of that lab. And, you know, shortly after that very first introduction with those families, they formed what was originally called the National Retinitis Pigmentosa Foundation. And the mission of driving research and being a science and research-focused organization started at that very beginning. And then over the years, what we've learned is that retinitis pigmentosa is a subset of what is a broader range of conditions called inherited retinal diseases. And so around the time that the science was driving that understanding, the leaders of the organization at the time said, well, we should modify our name to be more inclusive of the broad range of conditions that are all interrelated. And that's when the name change from the RP Foundation to the Foundation Fighting Blindness occurred. And today, we are, without question, the global leader in driving this research. We fund research all over the world in the 50 some odd years since our origin. We've raised almost $1 billion with a B dollars in truly nearly every milestone in this space over the last 50 years that you could, you could point to. The Foundation Fighting Blindness was at the forefront of driving it.
So there must be researchers all over the world doing interesting work and looking for funding to advance their research. How do you decide, what kind of criterion do you use to dole out some of this research money?
Yeah, it is a very thorough and I would say world-class process. We have a scientific advisory board that includes 60 plus of the global experts, some of the most well-known individuals in all of ophthalmology, but really specifically in retina and inherited retinal disease. That's who makes up the scientific advisory board. And when we have a call for applications, we'll get dozens and dozens of applications from the best researchers anywhere in the world. And then we have a process by which these experts will review and score and determine how they rank. And then ultimately, from that process, we will, select and fund.
What would you say are some of the research projects that you've funded that you're the most excited about?
So in 2017, the first treatment using a gene therapy approved for any condition was approved for a form of blindness called LCA, Leber's congenital amaurosis. And it was caused by a particular gene called RPE65. Well, that treatment that was FDA approved, and today, now individuals with mutations in the RPE65 gene that's causing LCA, all over the world, individuals are getting this treatment. It is a bona fide, huge, incredible success story. The treatment is called Luxturna. So I go back in time, Luxturna only got to that stage because of work that the foundation funded a decade before. That's a little bit looking back, but that's the type of impact that we can make. You fund work in a lab that eventually moves to the clinic, that eventually goes into a company, that eventually engages the FDA, that eventually is changing people's lives. But none of that happens if the very beginning of that story didn't include the foundation, funding some of the basic work. I look at it today, we're funding, at any point in time, 90 to 100 different research projects across the globe. And, the things that get me super excited are the types of interventions that are not necessarily gene specific, because then you can have mass impact on large chunks of the population that are affected without it being one at a time, this gene, then that gene, then this gene, then that gene. There are over 300 genes that can cause an inherited retinal disease. And, gene agnostic is the term. Therapies that can affect broad chunks of the population with one treatment are really exciting, because that means that there's opportunity to affect that many more people in one, with one potential product.
We've got our own eye doctor and we've got our own eye conditions, and we show up and there's been this great research study and somebody's developed a new treatment. How do you get that information to the particular ophthalmologist who's treating the particular patient?
Oh my gosh, that is the magic question, because it does seem like there's this huge gap in some cases where the individual who goes to the eye doctor, that's their world, right? That's the expert that you have to work with. And yet there's another world that's happening in academia, or that the foundation is funding, or in large academic institutions, or at Duke, or at Harvard, or but that's different than the eye doctor that's in your local market that you're actually going to see, that's providing you with your your annual visit and what have you. But what I learned, and maybe many of your listeners can relate, but I learned when I first came to the foundation, which was heartbreaking, is that many individuals who are affected with a blinding condition, that when they are told by their eye doctor, their optometrist, or their ophthalmologist, that talk track, that script that often they are told is, I'm sorry to tell you that you have retinitis pigmentosa or Stargardt disease or Usher syndrome or LCA or whatever that specific indication is or condition is, unfortunately, there's nothing that can be done. And so I recommend you get in touch with a mobility and orientation specialist, or, you know, here's the number to, you know, the guide dogs or leader dogs for the blind or what have you. And there's a missing piece because the eye care professional doesn't realize, because it's so unique, unless they're a true inherited retinal disease specialist, it's so unique that they're actually making this diagnosis, because they may only see one or two individuals who are affected with one of these conditions every year. And so there's a gap, and they don't realize that there is all of this work that's being done, that there are clinical trials happening all over the world, that the Foundation Fighting Blindness exists with chapters in nearly every market across the country, and that if we could just connect those dots and get the individuals who are getting that diagnosis or who are affected plugged in to what's happening within the Foundation Fighting Blindness, not to say that every single person could be in a clinical trial in the next week, but it's a different dynamic when you have the sense of what is happening in the field and the progress that's taking place. And so that is an area of emphasis for us, is to really get that message into the professionals' hands. We have a group within the foundation called Professional Outreach. That's what they do, is they're connecting with eye care professionals across the country to try to change that talk track when the patient and the, you know, the doctor have that initial conversation. So that way it sounds different. Instead, sounds like, you have this blinding condition, I'm going to recommend us getting a genetic test. I'm also going to recommend you get in touch with the Foundation Fighting Blindness. They have these great resources. They have a local community. And I know that there are clinical trials happening all over the country, and they can help advise whether or not you're a good candidate. That is a completely different experience than what I think most people who are affected have when they're first diagnosed.
And I guess things can also work in the other direction. Probably a good idea for people with these conditions to be aware of the organization and connect with it themselves and be a little bit more proactive.
I totally agree. You know, we think of it both ways, you know, working through the physicians, but also working directly with the community. We do what are called insights forum calls, similar to like a public trade, you know, publicly traded company who have their quarterly earnings call. And so we do this once a quarter, total transparency. We talk through our financials. We talk through big strategic opportunities or issues or initiatives happening within the organization. And then we have an open Q&A session. We had our most recent quarterly update yesterday. And it's awesome because we have, you know, 1,000 people register for this call, and they're from all over the world. And I can't answer all the questions that come in. I mean, there's dozens, hundreds of questions that come in every time we do one of these. And then what we do is we follow up with each individual afterwards. But it just shows how much interest there is from the community itself. And I'm just passionate about connecting everything that we're doing and everything that we know with the community. And so that's why it's awesome to be on this podcast with both of you, to be able to communicate directly to the community.
Well, it sounds like you folks have done an awful lot of really important work. Do you have any future plans or directions that you want to share with our listeners?
So a couple things that are critical from the research perspective. Today, and I said it a few minutes ago, there are 50 clinical trials that are taking place, some of which are gene-specific, like LCA5, LCA1, X-linked retinoschisis, multiple trials in X-linked retinitis pigmentosa. But then there are also these what I call gene-agnostic trials that are taking place, where it doesn't really matter what the gene is because the intervention is taking a different track. And one of those trials will start enrolling here in the next, you know, the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, from a company called Blue Rock Therapeutics, which is a division of Bayer. And you know, this large company is now super interested in our space, which is exciting because they have resources to really drive it all the way through. So from a research perspective, there's just, I can't even list all the developments that are happening. There's just so many. One radical initiative that we're involved in right now that is just so mind-blowing that I'm always excited to talk about it is through a division within the federal government, actually. So within the HHS, Health and Human Services, there's a new agency called ARPA-H, A-R-P-A-H. And within ARPA-H, there's an initiative called the Whole Eye Transplant. And we are working with a team at the Foundation Fighting Blindness of researchers across the U.S., multiple institutions. It's actually led by the University of Colorado, is our lead research partner on this, but in addition to Colorado, many others are involved. And the goal of this particular initiative is to successfully conduct 6 whole eye transplants, similar to a kidney transplant or a heart transplant, which we see in other areas of medicine, but 6 successful whole eye transplants in the next 6 years. And so it is a radical moonshot. There's a million problems that will have to be solved, but that's the type of work that is being done. And I think for folks in our community that are interested in, okay, what is the future and what are the potential opportunities to reverse the vision loss that I'm experiencing, there's a real reason to be optimistic that there's a lot on the horizon.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about the Foundation Fighting Blindness and how to contact them.
Well, Jason, if our listeners want to find out more about the Foundation Fighting Blindness and about some of the resources with which you can connect them, where would you send them?
Great. First stop is our website, fightingblindness.org. And on our website, we have, as you'd imagine, a gazillion pages of information, everything from articles about new developments in clinical trials, the clinical trial pipeline I spoke of a minute ago, but also information about each different condition, resources, events that are taking place in nearly every zip code across the country. There's just a wealth of resources at our website. It's a great place to start. And we're very active on social media. So Facebook, Instagram, X. We have a TikTok channel now too. And then anytime anyone wants to get in touch with us the old-fashioned way, info@fightingblindness.org is an email address that you can send in emails and someone will respond.
I understand the Foundation Fighting Blindness has its own podcast. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. On the Cure is the name of the podcast, and it's available Spotify, Apple Podcast, everywhere that you could find any other podcasts like this one that I've enjoyed listening to as well. But IEYE on the Cure is the name of the podcast.
And you can find all of that information in the link to the show notes for episode 2521 at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be helping the Jaws for Windows screen reader celebrate its 30th anniversary. Yes, Jaws for Windows has been around that long. We'll talk with Elizabeth Whitaker about Freedom Scientific's education initiatives, training resources, the new AI-powered FS companion, and the recently introduced Insert J Club, a community for users to communicate with each other and to access exclusive content and support.
I've made great use of JAWS virtually since day one, so if you want to learn what they're up to next week and celebrating the 30th anniversary, join us for that episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.